Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Meet the Candidates. I'm your host, Jonathan Grabowski. We are in the middle of the general election season. We've had people on running for federal government. We've had people running for state government. And now we're into county government. And joining me today is District Attorney Tim Cruz. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Jonathan, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Right. We're going to talk about the DA's office, some of the issues. But first off, who is Tim Cruz?
Well, I grew up here in Plymouth County. I was born in Brockton Hospital. I grew up in West Bridgewater, went to public schools, went to Boston College, went to Suffolk Law School, and met my wife at Boston College during the blizzard of 78, so I'm an old guy. We were lucky we had two boys. One of my boys went to Bates College, and he graduated. He's a statistician in Boston. And our older boy went to Boston College, and he's currently an Army infantry captain. He's an airborne ranger and is currently in Fort Drum, New York. So my family is something I'm very proud of, and I've had the privilege of being in this role as district attorney for the last 17 years. And I've lived here in Marshfield for the last 22 years.
All right. So you started in DA's office, right?
I did. I started in 1983, which is probably before you were born.
I was born in 82.
Okay. Well, you were very young. Yeah. And I started as an intern in 1983, and I graduated from law school in 1984. And the first real legal job I ever had, Bill O'Malley was the district attorney in Plymouth County at that time. And I was fortunate that he gave me my first opportunity. And I learned when I was an intern and I learned when I was in law school that I love trying cases. And I love going to court. And that's really what I did my entire time as an assistant DA in the 80s until I left. Like a lot of people leave the DA's office, mm-hmm. as you leave because you can't afford to stay. Because although it's a great job and you can really learn a lot, they really don't pay a lot of money. We still have that same issue today. We lose people right. who want to go out and, you know, get married, buy a home, or even just pay all their bills in 1 month. So it's a challenge sometimes.
Okay. So I know you've been involved in a lot of stuff as DA, and we'll get to that in a second, but I know you're also active in the community. What are some of the groups you're involved with?
I think it's pretty important to be involved in the community where you work and where you live. And that's why I tried. I've always been involved in sports, whether it be in West Bridgewater, the Bridgewater area, which is the other portion of our county. But I'm also involved with a lot of the organizations here in Marshfield. I've been on the board of directors of the Marshfield Boys and Girls Club for more than the last 10 years. I've been on the board of directors of the Old Colony Y in Brockton. I've been on the board of director of Excel. Excel is the alternative school program in Bridgewater Raynham. And I've been on the board of directors of Brockton Hospital for probably the last 17 years. And it's really a challenge keeping all those balls in the air, especially on top of our busy job. But I think it's really important that people understand that you know the area, that's where you're from, the people know you, they have an awareness of you, and they know what you stand for. And that's why I'm continuing to ask to stay on these boards and contribute whatever I can contribute to keep them going in a successful fashion.
So you're seeking a fifth full term.
I am.
Why?
Well, I mean, that's interesting to put it that way, but it's a fifth term, and the job is really about helping people. And that's what I love. And going out and helping people as best I can. I was at an event just a couple weeks back, and I was trying to go from one event to the next. And it was pouring rain out. It was one of those Thursday nights, mm-hmm. and I was in Plymouth. And I had to get to the other side of Plymouth. And a young woman came out. And we started having a conversation. She was outside trying to catch some air. We were at a fundraiser. And she started talking to me. And as we were talking, she said to me, you used to represent me. Now, when I left the DA's office, I worked in private practice. I represented a lot of people in criminal defense cases and personal injury cases and probate cases. And quite honestly, I did not remember this young woman. And I said, well, that's great. Did we win or lose? And she kind of smiled and she said, well, you probably don't remember me because I was 5 years old. And she told me about, and as soon as she said it, I knew who she was. She was a little girl that we prosecuted a case and somebody would hurt her and her friend here in Plymouth County in 1985. We tried the case. And she said to me then that something that will always stay with me. We said, you know, I was too little to say thank you then, but I want you to know that I thank you for taking care of us, making us feel that we were safe in the courtroom. So, you know what? My job is not about money. Mm-hmm. It's not about fame or anything such mm-hmm. as that. It's about helping people and knowing that I can help people who don't have a voice, whether they be little children or whether they be seniors in our community. They need to understand that there's somebody there that's going to help them. And in their time of trouble, we will be there and help them as best as we can to do our job.
Interesting, because I was going to just follow up by saying, like, a lot of times you see DAs run for other offices afterwards. I think I can try and think of a few off the top of my head. You know, what is it that makes this so attractive, this
yeah.
position?
You know, I've talked to other DAs who have gone on, they've become attorney generals, mm-hmm. or they've run for other thing, and they all say the same thing to me. the best job they ever had was being district attorney, not going on to be an attorney general or some other position. A lot of people do use it as a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. I've never run for anything else. You know, this is all I'm really interested in, and this is what I've been doing for the last 34 years, either as a prosecutor or as a defense attorney. I've tried a few hundred cases myself, jury trials. I've tried thousands of district court cases and superior court bench trials. Mm-hmm. This is what I do, and I think it's important to have both sides of that, defense and prosecution, so you can talk about cases and try to make sure we can put these very difficult and challenging cases together sometimes so we can keep people safe.
What have been some of the biggest changes since you first took office?
I think there's been so many changes. The world has changed so much, and we continue to deal with, say, even cell phones. You know, we're trying to work with our cell phones now, and what we find is because all the iPhones have been encrypted, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to get in there and see what drug dealers, perhaps, or even people who are hurting people physically, what they're putting in their phones. Mm. And because of the fact that, you know, Apple and all the other places will not acquiesce to allow law enforcement in there, I think what we need to do, and what I've been working on, I'm on the board of the National DA's Association, and I'm also on the opioid working group, talking about trying to get federal legislation which will mandate that those companies will have to open up their phones if we have probable cause to get affidavits and warrants so we can get information to help us go get after people hurting other people.
Since your last re-election, what have been some of the highlights?
I think one of our biggest highlights is that we moved our office. You know, our office had been 32 Belmont Street in Brockton for 40 years. And it was a dilapidated building, notwithstanding the best efforts by our landlords, the county commissioners, mm-hmm. but it was literally falling apart against us, and we needed to make sure that we have a place that's state of the art. So we were incredibly fortunate. I worked with Governor Baker, and we were able to get the resources to move, like I like to say, we just moved like 0.2 miles around the corner in Brockton, right across from Brockton District Court, mm-hmm. but we really moved 75 years in the future because we were able to consolidate a lot of other programs that we had, and we move places together, and most importantly for the city of Brockton, which, and the Brockton affects the entire county, we were able to move our state police unit, which has been assigned to the Middleborough Barracks for as long as I can recall. We moved them to Brockton also. So overnight, Brockton, which is a very much under-resourced community, overnight there were 24 troopers that were not doing the Brockton police job, but work with them. And what I find is that we have to continue to have great cooperation, communication, and collaboration between all of our state, local, and federal agencies, and I think we have that.
I want to follow up on something you just said. You talked about cooperation, and it seems like you're always working with someone else, whether it be the sheriff's department, local police forces, state police. How important is that cooperation in your position?
It's incredibly important because we all fill different roles. And what we have access to, perhaps the sheriff doesn't have access to. So when I work with Sheriff McDonald, who's been a great partner over the years and has done a tremendous job down at the jail, really cutting-edge stuff on the reentry programs mm-hmm. for people coming back into our community, when we talk about here's what we have, here's what he has, what can we do to make sure our idea, like the Plymouth County Drug Abuse Task Force, how do we move the ball down the field and how do we make sure that we can get everybody to the table to get best practices, to work together, so once again, we can help people. It's not always, you know, it doesn't have to be like highly media publicized or things such as that, but just trying to understand that, you know what, everybody, forget the egos, let's work together, and it works out for the betterment of everybody.
I want to do some civics 101 here. What's the role of the district attorney?
You know, I often ask that when I go to Kiwanis's or Rotary's, and I go, does anybody know what the DA does? And I'll get a vague look from them most of the times, and I'll say, well, does anybody watch Law & Order? And they'll nod their head a little bit. Mm-hmm. Does anybody watch CSI? Mm-hmm. And they'll nod their head even more, and they'll smile like you are. And I'll say, well, it's nothing like that. I mean, that's television. And that's, you know, crime to conviction, 60 minutes, including commercials. Mm-hmm. My job now as the district attorney, as the chief administrator and the chief law enforcement official here in Plymouth County, is to make sure that we have all of our cases accounted for, our 18,000 or so criminal cases we have every year, to make sure that my people are in place to do the very best that they can, get them the resources that they can, work with that legislative delegation to make sure when the law needs to be changed or tweaked, and God knows that happens quite a bit.
Right.
You know, we need to make sure we get in front of some of the problems and issues that we're dealing with, working for the budget for my office, making sure we can keep people as best as we can with the full understanding that people don't go into this job to become rich. You know, if you want to be rich, then you need to go work for a big firm in Boston. Mm-hmm. But if you want to have, like I tell the young lawyers that come to me, but if you want to have an opportunity to affect people's lives, you need to work in the DA's office.
You've mentioned a few of them, but what are some of the groups you're involved in on a professional level?
Well, I mean, we work with I work with all the district attorneys associations here in Massachusetts. We have the Mass DA's Association, the National DA's Association, so that when we have issues on a very much national level, I can reach out to my brothers and sisters of the bar across America. And I've been lucky to do that for a really long time, so that if we have an issue, say, here in Massachusetts, I can pick up the phone and call the Onondaga DA and Bill Fitzpatrick in Syracuse, New York. Or I can call people, my buddies out in California, see how they're dealing with the same issues that we're dealing with. And the crazy thing of all is that even though we all have different state constitutions, is that a lot of our problems are really the same.
Right.
Whether they be the opioid crisis, whether they be the meth crisis, which is very similar to our opioid crisis, which is in the middle of the country. And as we talk to each other, we try to get, once again, what's working for you? What's best practices? How can we try to get in front of this problem without reinventing the wheel? Mm-hmm. It's much like when we put together the Plymouth County Drug Abuse Task Force, in that virtually every town has been working really hard against this problem. There's been great volunteers and citizens. Here we've had Marshfield Facts or Scituate Facts or the Brockton Opioid Coalition. And lots of times you could probably go into a different facts meeting in our county every night of the week. So how do we make sure we're not doing the same stuff? So that's why myself and Sheriff McDonald back in 2015 put together the task force to figure out, you know, let's get smart people who work in that field and bring everybody from, you know, law enforcement, legislative, judiciary, faith-based, family-based, medical, schools. We deal with Bridgewater State and Quincy College. And let's work together to try to make sure we can handle and get in front of this significant problem.
In your role as DA, is there a number one issue that you face?
I think right now the issue is opiates. It's affected everybody, and it has no zip code. So wherever I go, when I have conversations with people, I'll ask them if whether or not they've lost a loved one or if they know of somebody that's lost a loved one, and virtually everybody has. So that opioid problem has taken off incredibly in the last 12, 15 years. Back in the early 2000s, the opioid problem was not what it is right now because of the prescription medications, which eventually morphed into OxyContin, oxycodone, and then people who can't afford oxys anymore going to heroin. Mm-hmm. And back when I was a young prosecutor, heroin was about 18-20% pure. Now it's about 90-95% pure, and it is pure poison. And the problem we're dealing with now also is fentanyl, which is 50 times stronger than heroin, and carfentanil, which is an elephant tranquilizer, which is also out there. So how do we deal with that issue? And what our plan has been all along is to make sure that we try to educate kids at a younger age, much like we did with the Version of a Dare program. Because if you talk to children right now about nicotine and cigarettes, that's poison to them. Yeah. We need to focus them on the same thing such as this. And at the same time, we have to work with the people who are dealing with the addiction right now. There's not enough beds for lots of people. There's not enough help or recovery coaches for people. And on the furthest end, we need to make sure that we're going after the individuals who are the drug dealers and the drug traffickers. They're not users. They're making money on this. And they're making monies on the backs and the lives of the people in our county. We need to pursue them relentlessly. I think that we've done that. We've got our first manslaughter conviction just 6 months back from a Wareham fentanyl dealer. And we're going to continue to do that.
I want to talk a little bit more about opioids. You've talked about the Plymouth County Drug Abuse Task Force. Tell me about what is it, what does it do?
Yeah, I mean, it's myself and Sheriff put it together, and we reached out and we brought in, like I said, different subparts. And one of the subparts that I didn't mention earlier was law enforcement. In law enforcement, we had Chief Mike Boteri from Plymouth, and we had Chief Scott Allen from East Bridgewater. And those are very important towns for us because of the fact that East Bridgewater was East Bridgewater Hope, which was a recovery center in East Bridgewater, which has now morphed to Plymouth County Hope. And now we have Plymouth County Outreach. And Outreach came out of the task force from trying to put together monies and try to get real life data that we can use instantaneously. So that if you overdosed in Brockton, but you were from Marshfield, the Brockton police would notify the Marshall police immediately, and you can, within 12 to 24 hours, expect a recovery coach and a police officer not in uniform to show up and offer services. One of the biggest problems out there with opiate problems is the stigma of addiction, mm-hmm. and people are embarrassed by it. But what I say to people is, if when your kid, when your child, when your niece, your nephew, when their life is at stake, you will accept any hand that's put out to you. Mm-hmm. And that's why we do what we do. And right now, it's great because the International Association of Police Chiefs has just recognized the 27 police towns here in Massachusetts, and strike that, Plymouth County, the sheriff, our office, and we've got the Community Leadership Award nationally. They're going to be getting that on October 6th, and I cannot commend them enough for really working together. And when I talk to other DAs across the country, they ask me, how do you get 27 police chiefs to agree to anything? You know, because right. they all have different, yeah. you know, they're all different people. And our police chiefs, our men and women, were able to put any differences aside that they have mm-hmm. and work together to put together a memorandum of understanding. And they get this up and running. So I think it's great. We've seen our numbers stabilize. There's a long way for us to go.
Right.
But we're definitely heading in the right direction. And our goal at the end of it is to get rid of this terrible epidemic.
What's the importance of appointing an opioid point prosecutor?
I think you have to have somebody who's dealing with the problems of the community. And so through our Project Safe Neighborhood grant that we got from, this was a federal grant which deals with guns, gangs, and violence and drugs, we were able to hire an opioid prosecutor who's got about 45 cases right now. And so he's dealing with all those cases that are within the scope of what we're dealing with. So he knows who the players are, who the bad guys are, who's all talking with each other, so that we understand when we go after an individual and we can make sure we get him his guns, his drugs, his drug money off the street, that this one ADA knows who he's dealing with. So somebody can't throw a fastball by him and he understands who we're dealing with.
Okay. I want to jump to gun and violent crime. I've heard you mention this before. What is ShotSpotter?
ShotSpotter is a device that's now in the city of Brockton, and actually we originally got it under a grant probably 10 years back. And what it is a device that triangulates where the shots occur in the city of Brockton. So it's a 5-mile radius. So that if a shot goes off in the city of Brockton, there's an automatic notification to the police that there's shots on this side of the city at this address. Now, you would say to yourself, well, why is that necessary? If somebody's shot in your area, they're going to call the police. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, what we found, that's not so, is that if you don't hit my house, hit my car, hit my kids, hit my people, lots of people don't call. And ShotSpotter is so incredibly important because it gave us actually some data and numbers. Because it used to be, oh, there's shots all the time in Brockton. But what did that mean? Now we have a hard right. number that we have every month, and we can figure out from a database of where the shots are coming from, how we can put our resources there at the impact areas, and make sure that we go after the people who are bringing violence to the city of Brockton. And also, you should understand that when Brockton has violence, it spreads out into our other communities. So we have to right. focus on where the vast majority of our drugs and our guns are coming from Boston down to Brockton and out our way. So we just actually had a very big bust working with the United States Attorney's Office, once again, cooperation, yeah. working with Commissioner Gross of the Boston Police, and all of the other individuals. They got 30 guys off the street, got 20 firearms off the street, and an incredible amount of fentanyl off the streets, and it makes a real difference by working together. And I think those sort of partnerships under Project Safe Neighborhood mm-hmm. has been incredibly important for the city of Brockton and the county of Plymouth.
Another big thing that you've been working on is Operation Safe Streets, if you want to talk about that.
Safe Streets was a program that we put together about 3 or 4 years back because Project Safe Neighborhood had died out. There was no more federal funding for it. But in my opinion, of all the things I've done over the years, Project Safe Neighborhood was the most valuable tool that we had about putting people into a room and talking about the players in the community. So what we do is we have monthly meetings and we talk to the feds, we talk to the DEA, FBI, ATF, we talk to the state police, the local police, we talk to the sheriffs, we talk to the Massachusetts State Police, and we all share that information. And that information is so incredibly important because then you, once again, you can target the hot spots when things are occurring, you can put your limited resources there whenever these guys may be out, and you can remove them from the street. And when you do that, you watch your numbers go down. And over the course of the last 3 years, since Safe Streets, gun violence in the city of Brockton has gone down 21%. And that is a result of everybody working together and making a difference in our community, especially when we don't get any monies or resources or grants, which Safe Streets was just something that I thought was important to do and was kind of like a poor man's PSN almost, and that we have no money, but it's too good to let go, so we had to work together.
Right. One of the things you've also worked on is protecting children. What is the Children's Advocacy Center?
Yeah, the Children's Advocacy Center, when I first became DA, we were doing it out of the DA's office. And unfortunately right now in Plymouth County every year, and this year we anticipate we're going to have more than 1,000 kids who have been either sexually or physically abused, usually by people or guardians that they know. And so we were trying to find a location for our CAC, is what I call it, Children's mm-hmm. Advocacy Center. And we were able to partner up with BAMSI, and it's actually the first public-private relationship between a public institution, which is myself, and BAMSI, which is private. And they gave us a building in the city of Brockton, which is now one-stop shopping for individuals, because what we had found out that kids that had been abused or hurt, lots of times they disclosed at school. And think of that for a second. You're a 6-7-year-old kid, and you tell your teacher. Your teacher's horrified. Mm-hmm. Your teacher will run out and get the principal, tell the principal. The principal will run out and get the nurse, tell the nurse. Then the nurse will call the police, tell the police. When you're a little kid, and the most horrific thing has happened to you, you don't want to talk about it anymore. So at the CAC, what we do is we have trained forensic investigators who talk to the kids. We have, they're on one-sided mirrors, and we have questions that are put into the ears of the forensic examiners to try to get information out of the kids to the extent that we can. But just as importantly is we're trying to stop the cycle of child abuse, because lots of the kids who are victims now may be perpetrators later. Right. So we get services through BAMSI and other areas of mental health agencies in our community that can apply to these kids so we can stop the cycle of domestic violence and we can stop the cycle of child abuse.
Another thing you've worked on is targeting at-risk, drug-endangered children in the school system. Tell me about that. What does it do?
Yeah, we've been dealing with drug-endangered kids now for the last couple of years. We started through our Children's Advocacy Center and through our grants program in our office. We started making sure that we could be in a position to, when kids were getting hurt, they'd go to school and nobody knew what was going on. They were trauma-induced. We did a program in Brockton and other adjoining communities about 7-8 years ago, I think it was, and it was very successful. When we were dealing with the opioid crisis, we're finding out that the vast majority of the people, like in last year, that were passing away in Plymouth County as a result of the fatal opiate overdoses were between the ages of 20 and 39, child-rearing years. And we were also finding out that most of those kids, those overdoses were occurring in the home, 75% of them. Who's in the home? Kids. So if you have somebody passes away, either a grandparent's going to have to step up, or if there is no grandparent, perhaps DCF. So we have to help those little kids now who have what's known as these adverse childhood experiences, these ACEs. And so we've done a big promotion out, and we're also now going to the schools. We're doing trauma-sensitive schools. We got a grant. I spoke at 3 Plymouth schools about 2 weeks back. I know we're doing one in Pembroke coming up. And we're trying to get trauma-induced schools to make sure that when the kids act up, we know why they're doing it and how we can help them as best as we can. Because there's a lot of privileges and issues and things such as that. But I find it's been very effective. And now with the next step, the drug endangered kids, myself and my office, we go around and talk to other DAs. We just presented in Essex County the other day regarding this, and we've done it numerous places, and we're going to continue to do it until we can help the kids.
You've kind of answered this question I'm about to ask you, but I'm going to go for it anyways. A lot of people see the DA's office as the prosecuting arm, but what role does it play in the prevention of, you know, crime?
When I first got back to the DA's office, I sat down with a guy in my office, and I knew he wasn't a lawyer, and I said, it's nice to see you. What do you do here? He goes, well, I'm the director of preventative resources. And I said, well, that's quite a handle, but what does that mean? And for the next hour and a half, I drank out of the fire hydrant. He told me of all the preventative programs that we're dealing with that we never did back when I was in the DA's office in the 80s. Whether they be drug diversion programs, drug courts, we're going to schools about internet safety and all the issues and the challenges that the kids are facing. We continue to go about underage drinking and vaping. We're dealing about drugs themselves. We do mock trials in our school system. We have every summer we have a Plymouth County Drug Education Camp at Whitman Hanson High School. And we brought in last year 660 kids. And with 22 of our 27 communities, and their SROs, the school resource officers were there, Marshfield was there, and you know what? It's great. These kids, a lot of these kids wouldn't get any camp if it wasn't for this. And I commend the police. I commend all the donors that we get for food and lunch and all the various things that happen. It's organized chaos, but it is a great time for the kids, and it's something that's really important. So people, when you think of the DA's office and what happens when school budgets get cut, the first places schools will call for help is us. Right. We've never said no. We never will say no. If there's a problem, we will come and deal with it as best as we can and help the extent that we can in all of our 27 communities. And I think that's a big difference from when I started out in the 80s to where we are here now in 2018.
Someone wants to find out more about you. Where can they go?
They can go to our website. My political website is datimcruz.com, where it has everything down there from our endorsements to the various things that we do and the challenges that we face.
Who are some of the people that have endorsed you?
Well, I mean, it's really quite a long list. I would certainly refer them to datimcruz.com, but Governor Baker, Lieutenant Governor Polito, I've been endorsed by Mike Sullivan. Mike Sullivan is the former U.S. attorney and the former Plymouth DA prior to myself. And I think 4 different sheriffs here in Massachusetts. And prosecutors from around the country have vouched me. And it doesn't matter if they're Democrats or Republicans. It's very much bipartisan. And I've gotten from the the Abington Police, virtually all the way down to the Whitman Police. I think there's 27 to 28 of them. Mm-hmm. I was very happy to get the Marshfield Police endorsement because they normally don't endorse. Wow. And they called me up and they said they believe in what we're doing. And I'm very, very thankful to Officer Rady and Sergeant DeMeo.
If reelected, what are some things that you'd like to work on?
I want to continue working on the opioid crisis, and I want to continue working with my partners in trying to get into the phones. The phones are a huge problem on a variety of issues, and we also need to continue to work to make sure we can get the wiretap statute up and running. Our wiretap statute has not been amended in Massachusetts since 1969. Needless to say, the world has changed since then,
definitely.
Especially with iPhones and cell phones and email and internet. And even though the SJC came down with a decision saying that it should be amended, we have fought with the legislature, but we haven't been unable to get the ball across the goal line. I think that, you know, that those are two of the things that I definitely want to do and continue to make sure that we get fairness and pay for our prosecutors.
We go through a lot of issues on the show, so we try to end on a light, fun note with some, you know, fun questions. So first one is, what's something about you that people may find interesting?
Well, I'm not the most interesting guy. I'm pretty boring, as a matter of fact. All I really do is work and hang with my family. But I still do play hockey in the South Coastal Men's League. Mm-hmm. It's something I enjoy very much, and it gives me 2 or 3 hours a week where I'm not with my phones, which is great because other than that, I've been on call for 17 years, and if something bad happens, I go. And so I enjoy doing that.
Speaking of phones, if we were to take your iPhone or whatever you use, iPod, whatever, what music would we find on it?
I think you'd probably find 70s rock, you'd probably find Aerosmith, and you'd find Steely Dan.
Okay. And finally, why are you the best candidate?
Well, I think that, you know, being the district attorney, it's about character and integrity. And I think that, you know, people can throw rocks all they want, but you have to ask yourself, who is the person that you would trust when you're in a time of need? Mm-hmm. Now, I have an opponent out there that is not from Plymouth County, lives in Boston, he's an independent from Boston, mm-hmm. and he has been taken off the ballot by the State Ballot Law Commission, and he got back on through a sticker campaign. But the language that they use in that decision should really give people pause before they consider to vote for him. When they said that what he did was not in good faith, they said that his conduct was deceptive, manipulative, and misleading. Those are monikers that the district attorney cannot have. How can you be trustworthy if you cannot even put your own information out there to get on the ballot? Mm-hmm. So there's many other things I could talk about, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to say this. I think my record stands for itself. I've been here for a long time. It's been an incredible privilege to serve the people in the county where I grew up, where I've raised my kids, and where I have been for a really long time versus somebody who hasn't been here at all.
Well, I thank you for joining us on the show today, Tim. I wish you the best of luck all the way up to election season.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And that's all the time we have for Meet the Candidates. And until next time, make it a great day.